Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic, and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that, honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. This week's story is a listener suggestion. Thank you to Jocelyn for bringing Stephanie's story to my attention. In the United States, approximately 460,000 children are still considered missing in any given year. What is a missing child? The definition isn't clear, and this makes this statistic uncertain. But even as a rough number, this is alarming. Stephanie is one of these children. September 2024, New Sweden, Maine. A 13-year-old girl had a fight with her older sister over household chores, resulting in the teen running into the woods, something she had done many times before, but would always return after clearing her head. This time, Stephanie would not return. Was she abducted by a predator who had groomed the girl via an online dating app? The FBI have kept their cards close to their chests. And 8 months later, we are still asking, where is Stephanie? This is Stephanie's story.
First tonight, law enforcement officials and volunteers are searching for a 14-year-old girl from New Sweden who's been missing for months. Stephanie Dameron's family reported her missing last September. She was last seen walking out of her house and into the woods on West Road in New Sweden. State police say search parties have been looking for her this weekend. They say you'll see a lot of law enforcement in the New Sweden area until Sunday, but there is no danger to the public. Police say Stephanie is 5 feet tall and 130 pounds with green eyes and shoulder-length brown hair. The FBI is offering a $15,000 reward for anyone with information on where she may be.
Stephanie Dameron was born October 6, 2010 in Texas to parents Christopher Dell and Lisa Marie Dameron. Christopher is also referred to by his middle name Dell in the news media. Stephanie is one of six children born to the couple, with one of these children grown and now an adult out of their home at the time this story takes place. The family lived in New Sweden, Maine. This is a very rural town, literally nothing but woods around the family home for a 3-mile radius. According to the 2020 census, New Sweden had a population of just over 500 people, so it's a very tiny and rural area, but not overly isolated, because it's only 23 miles from the Canadian border, so you could literally be out of the country within hours given the means to. The family lived off-grid and in a homestead. They had no electricity connected directly to the property, and instead ran off a generator when they needed to. They also had no running water. They brought the water from off-site, and they had an outhouse. I've seen described the dwelling they lived in was a yurt, and a yurt is a circular tent-like structure. But then I've also seen mentioned that that wasn't exactly the case, and the home was more stable than that. Stable is probably the wrong word, but it was more sturdy, structured. There were five children living in the home aged between 5 and 17 years old, Dale and Lisa being the parents, and a grandfather. I've also heard that the grandfather wasn't a blood relative, more like a close family friend that the children referred to as their grandfather. However, I haven't seen anything to confirm that either way. But that's eight people living in the household. The children were homeschooled. From what I understand, there was no internet connection to the home. And if they wanted to use the internet, they would have to go to the neighbours or into the town. The children didn't have their own cell phones, and they would borrow either their parents' or grandfather's cell phone if they wanted to have contact with the outside world. Although the children didn't have any friends, only each other. Maybe the isolation contributed to Stephanie's mental health, as her mother Lisa said that the 13-year-old was quite depressed in the lead-up to her disappearance, and it would be the woods where she would seek solace and to clear her mind. Stephanie also loves nature, reading, drawing, and puzzles. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. Summer is just around the corner, and the folks at Mint Mobile have a hot take. Getting a summer bod is out, and getting your savings bod is in. This spring and summer, we want skimpy wireless bills and fat wallets. And with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month, you can have both without breaking a sweat or the bank. My social media assistant Joyce already was using Mint Mobile herself, but her daughter is now in high school, so she got an eSIM for her. It is perfect for a teen on the go without sending you broke, but it doesn't cut costs with lackluster service. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text, delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Joy now has the peace of mind knowing her daughter can reach her no matter where she is, all thanks to Mint Mobile. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get your summer savings and shop premium wireless plans at mintmobile.com/stolen. That's mintmobile.com/stolen. Upfront payment of $45 for a 3-month 5GB plan required, equivalent to $15 monthly. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Tax and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. What we know about Stephanie's disappearance. And this episode is going to be a little different to the timeline type episode I usually share with you on this podcast, because the information out there doesn't allow for that. The rumour mill is strong with Stephanie's disappearance, and it's easy to get lost in the maze of rabbit holes. I am going to try to stick to fact here, but we'll make sure any rumours or gossip I do discuss here today, I will make sure it's clear that's what it is. Also, this episode is not to judge alternative ways of living. If you want to live off-grid and can do so successfully, more power to you for lessening your carbon footprint. Everything I have said or will say in this episode is to provide more insight into how the family lived and not to pass judgment. Additionally, to the time of this recording, May 2025, Stephanie's parents are not considered either suspects or persons of interest in their daughter's disappearance. And while they have made mistakes in the past, which I'm sure we all have, they are also victims in this story, and I ask you to show the same respect in the comments. Now the disclaimers are out of the way, what we do know about Stephanie's disappearance, September 23rd, 2024. That morning, Dale and Lisa had plans to go into town for a job interview at a Ruby Tuesdays. Stephanie giving her mother a kiss goodbye. The children staying home while their grandfather was watching the younger children. He was also doing repair work to the front door of the home. Early afternoon, 13-year-old Stephanie and her 16-year-old sister had an argument over household chores, typically normal for teenage siblings. My children do the same. Who is doing what chore and if they're doing it right? But Stephanie took offence to whatever was said and she ran out of the home crying, her grandfather seeing the young teen in tears running into the woods. Her grandfather said he didn't try and stop her because the children knew the woods quite well, and they would often go out there to play or walk to have time alone, thinking that Stephanie would return after cooling off. At around 3 p.m, the 16-year-old sister sent her parents a text message, stating that Stephanie had run away and they couldn't find her. Now, at first, there really wasn't all that much concern. As I mentioned, all the children would play in the woods. Search efforts would later find crayons and colouring books there, evidence that this was fact. Stephanie also had that history of running away from the house. But she would either return after a few hours or her parents would find her not far from the home. This would be the reason Dale and Lisa would tell both investigators and the news media why they didn't report Stephanie missing right away. At the time Stephanie went missing, the petite brunette was dressed in blue jeans, long-sleeved blue shirt, and black Harley Davidson hiking boots. Not really suitable for being out in the elements overnight, where temperatures reached a low of 41 degrees Fahrenheit or 5 degrees Celsius. According to Dale and Lisa, they didn't report her missing until the following day because they thought they had to wait 24 hours. Now, this isn't true. There is no minimum time period to report a missing child, especially a child who is endangered. So if you ever find yourself in that situation and you're told that, escalate. Ask to speak to a supervisor. Do not give up, respectfully of course, until you get feet on the ground helping you. The first few hours of a missing child investigation are invaluable and can literally mean the difference between life and death, especially in severe conditions. Due to the home being close to the Canadian border, the FBI became involved. In particular, the FBI's Child Abduction Rapid Deployment Team, or CARD as they're more commonly known. They worked alongside the Maine Police in the search for Stephanie. There have been a number of extensive searches using drones and search and cadaver dogs. But no trace of Stephanie could be found outside the boundaries of the family's property. Police have held press conferences where authorities have provided some updates regarding the case, and that they are keeping an open mind, exploring all options with what happened to Stephanie and her whereabouts now, said Lieutenant Darren Crane, who is the spokesperson for Maine Police, quote, "At this point, everything is on the table for us, from her simply missing or running away to the worst possible situation. Because we don't have any concrete leads or tips that have led us basically in one way or another." Unquote. A $15,000 reward was also announced in December 2024 for any information leading to Stephanie's safe return. This was followed by a candlelight vigil for Stephanie on December 21, 2024. Attendees wearing purple and carrying purple candles, Stephanie's favourite colour.
On September 27th, 2024, the FBI joined forces with our law enforcement partners to assist in the search. Today, we are renewing our call for the public's assistance, and we are here to announce that the FBI is offering a significant reward of up to $15,000 for information leading to her safe return or the arrest and prosecution of anyone involved in her disappearance. The FBI hopes this reward will incentivize anyone with information about Stephanie's whereabouts to come forward. Any detail, no matter how small, could be helpful. Stephanie's family desperately wants to know where she is, and we are fully committed to helping our law enforcement partners exhaust every investigative resource to find her and bring her home. Immediately after she was reported missing, the FBI brought in our Child Abduction Rapid Deployment, or CARD team. The CARD team is a group of highly trained and experienced subject matter experts on cases involving missing children. Investigators have conducted dozens of interviews and followed up on leads in Maine, across the country, and even Canada. Despite extensive investigative efforts, including a neighborhood canvas and video search, along with an expansive grid search utilizing canines from Maine Warden Service and Maine State Police, Stephanie is still missing.
So this behavior has not been uncommon for Stephanie, which is why I think the family waited a little bit of time, gave her a little bit of time before calling the police immediately. But in this case, for obvious reasons, since she hasn't turned up, we slowly ratcheted up all the investigative resources that are present, you know, in that area today for this reason.
So at this point, everything is still on the table for us, from her simply being missing to run away to the worst situation, because we don't have any concrete leads or tips that have led us basically in one direction or the other. So we don't want to leave anything on the table and not take something serious. But at this point, there's nothing that leads us in one specific direction.
And because it's so far up north, I know you said you were searching Canada as well. If she was in Canada, how would that process move forward, looking for her?
We would partner with the RCMP or the FBI also has resources that we can partner with other law enforcement to follow up on any information.
The public have quickly pointed the finger at Stephanie's parents, Dale and Lisa Dameron, asking why Stephanie was repeatedly running away, because happy children don't run away. And while that is true to a point, this is not your normal situation, and given Stephanie's age, she may have been just trying to exert some independence and rebellion in an environment where she wouldn't have much opportunity to. Neighbours would also later state in media interviews that their parents never came to them asking if they had saw or heard anything on the afternoon Stephanie went missing, or even to ask them for help. That the first they heard about the disappearance was when the police went door to door with their inquiries. It has also been said that the family have allegedly not really assisted in the official searches for Stephanie, and no longer allow searches of their property without a warrant. Another point of contention between the court of public opinion and the perception of guilt towards Stephanie's parents is the reason they were in Maine in the first place, and that was because of the previous CPS involvement in Texas. Late 2019, Rusk, Texas. Dale and Lisa Dameron were arrested after officers found them allegedly intoxicated inside a McDonald's while two of their children were still in the car. Lisa Dameron was initially charged with child abandonment with intent to return, but she would plead guilty to the lesser charge of deadly conduct and received a deferred sentence. In a Facebook post following the incident, Stephanie's father, Dale, shared that the family would be moving to New Sweden, Maine to, quote, get away from these bad memories, unquote, looking for a fresh start.
We were at a job interview that day. We got a couple phone calls, a couple messages, you know, where we live at and the way we live. The first few hours, there was no reason to raise a red flag. So we got the phone calls that she took off up the road, and we figured by the time we get home, she'd be back, and that would be the end of it. She'd be home, but a day later, we ended up calling the state police, and we still don't know what happened to her. We just want her home. The situation with the phone is it was not her phone. It was her grandfather's phone. We had bought an old, simple phone. We didn't even know it could connect to the internet. We tried several times to connect to the internet. We could never do it. But come to find out, this cheap $20 flip phone was the house she ended up connecting to the internet. And that's what it led to this, is she found a way to get on one of these dating websites or something like that that we didn't know about, because we just assumed that that phone wasn't capable of it, because our kids are raised, you know, no social media. We live off-grid. We keep to ourselves. We don't bother people. But we honestly do think that she did meet somebody online and probably pick her up at this point.
As I mentioned earlier, Stephanie and her siblings didn't have their own cell phones and instead used their parents' and grandfather's phone for contact with the outside world. Stephanie used her grandfather's flip phone. Now, I had one of those phones in my late teens, and really all you could do with them is call out and send text messages. But apparently with these newer style models, you can access the internet and download apps. The reason I'm bringing this up is because Dale and Lisa believe Stephanie was groomed by an online predator and abducted at the end of their 3-mile-long driveway. Dale believes Stephanie accessed a dating app from her grandfather's flip phone, a dating app that possibly involved the letter P and had a peach background, that this person she met online came and picked her up. Stephanie also had a Facebook page, but in the days before her disappearance, she deleted everything. Now, it is important to note, only the parents are saying this is what happened. They are the ones pushing this narrative. The FBI and police have not confirmed any details the parents are alleging, as far as using the grandfather's phone for online dating. But the FBI Computer Crimes Unit are involved, and they have retrieved any and all electronics from the family home. So, the police are aware of the parents' assertion the cell phone was used to access dating apps. And I understand there would be a process there to access who she was talking to. I imagine the company who owns the app would need to release this information, and there would be a turnover time for that. But we are 8 months later now and nothing. Now, I know there are situations where police don't release everything to keep the integrity of the investigation. But if a predator has this child, I imagine the FBI would be busting down his door now to save this girl. And there has been nothing. It really makes me question this whole theory the family are pushing. And that's not to say they are deliberately lying to cover up something. It could be they are clinging onto this scenario as hope that she's still alive, because that's all they have. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Stephanie Dameron has now been missing for 8 months, and her current whereabouts are unknown. During an interview with Dateline's Missing in America in January 2025, her mother Lisa spoke of her heartache of not knowing when her daughter was coming home. Quote, "It's the worst nightmare that you wish you could wake up from, and it just keeps going and going and going. I just want to know where my baby's at. I just want my baby home." Unquote. At the time of her disappearance, Stephanie Dameron was 13 years old. She has shoulder-length brown hair and green eyes. Stephanie is petite, standing 5 foot and weighing 130 pounds. She was last seen wearing blue jeans, a long-sleeved blue shirt, and black Harley Davidson hiking boots. If Stephanie is still alive today, she would be 14 years old. Stephanie has been gone 8 months now. It's time to bring her home. If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Stephanie Dameron, please contact the Maine State Police on 924-2261 or 207-532-5400. There is currently a $15,000 reward for any information leading to the whereabouts of Stephanie. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice, and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. We are now on YouTube. 2 episodes a month where you'll get an exclusive video including photos, maps and news clips. We are still learning what we are doing, so please be kind. But we would appreciate it if you head on over and give our videos a like and subscribe to the channel. This all will allow me to share more of the stories you want to hear. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.